الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we had began reading the last chapter. We had began reading the last chapter in the summarized version of Akhlaq Hamalat al-Quran, the manners of the carriers of the Quran. The author, he mentioned, Rahimahullah, Babun fi Husni as-Sawti bil-Quran, the chapter with regards to beautifying the voice when reciting the Quran. And the author, he began with a narration of Fadl ibn Ubayd radiyallahu anhu. We have seen that this narration here is weak. And there's another narration that is similar, which is collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that will suffice for this narration here. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَأَذِنَ اللَّهُ لِشَيْءٍ مَأَذِنَ لِلنَّبِي أَن يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ, that Allah, he did not listen to something in the manner that he listened to a prophet whenever he beautifies his voice reciting the Qur'an. In one wording likewise, مَأَذِنَ لِنَبِيٍ حَسَّنَ السَّوْتِ بِالْقُرْآنِ يَجْهَرُ بِهِ, that he didn't listen the way he listens to a prophet with a beautiful voice reciting the Qur'an, reciting it loudly and audibly. This is the authentic narration that has been mentioned with regards to that which the author is referring to, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And no doubt Allah, he hears all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is a specific type of listening and attention that Allah, he gives for the one reciting his book for his sake in the most beautiful manner. In the most beautiful manner. And likewise, we have seen that the author, he mentioned the narration of Al-Bara' ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Zayyinu al-Qur'ana bi aswatikum, and he beautify the Qur'an with your voices. And he by reciting the Qur'an according to the rules of recitation that have been transmitted, from pronouncing the letters from their proper articulation point, and likewise giving each letter its proper description and special characteristic and trait that it deserves, and abiding by the rules without going to extremes. And also it has been collected as well, another wording from Al-Bara' ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu, collected by Al-Hakim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَسِّنُوا الْقُرْآنَ بِأَصْوَاتِكُمْ فَإِنَّ الصَّوْتَ الْحَسَنَ يَزِيدُ الْقُرْآنَ حُسْنًا, that you should beautify the Qur'an with your voices, because indeed the beautiful voice, it increases the Qur'an in beauty. It increases the Qur'an in beauty. And meaning that whenever the Qur'an is recited properly in the manner prescribed, without going to extremes, and the one who is reciting, along with that, he has a beautiful voice, then it increases the beauty and the benefit of the recitation in this manner. It increases the beauty and benefit of the recitation in this manner. And the author also, we read in our previous class, he gave sincere advice for the one who has been gifted with the knowledge of the Qur'an, and likewise with a beautiful voice, that he must fear Allah Azza wa Jal and recite for the sake of Allah and not for the sake of the people, that he must be cautious with regards to that. And also he mentioned, rahimahullah, we were reading in our previous class, how the Salaf, the scholars, from the pious predecessors up until this day, upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the way of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, that they disliked to go to extremes in pronouncing the letters of the Qur'an and the recitation of the Qur'an. And they especially disliked and disapproved of those who try to recite the Qur'an according to musical tones and knowledge that is learned in music and the likes like this. And also we have seen the blameworthy trait of that which some have fallen into by mimicking and imitating famous reciters, and doing this intentionally and purposely to imitate one person or another person. And we have seen what the people of knowledge have mentioned with regards to this. So again, the issue of beautifying the voice with reciting the Qur'an, this means by learning the makharij and by learning the sifat of the huruf and by learning the rulings and the rights of each letter. Then after learning that and learning how to apply that, to strive to implement that property for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal in the recitation. So this is what is intended from beautifying the voice. Not learning musical tones and maqamat and the likes like this that are in accordance to musical scales so on and so forth. This is not proper nor befitting for the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is not proper nor befitting for the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. The devil, he has many traps and many ways to mislead the Muslims, especially the students of knowledge, and from that the students of the Quran. And the people of knowledge have clarified these affairs. The people of knowledge have clarified these affairs from the traps of the devil with regards to the students of the Quran, is that he will try to make them go to extremes with regards to the science of at-tajweed, go to extremes of pronouncing the letters and the likes like this until they forget about pondering and reflecting over the meaning, which is the intent from the recitation in the first place. From those who discussed these affairs in the early days, Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah ta'ala, his book, Talbis Iblis. Talbis Iblis. Talbis Iblis is a book about the deceptions of the devil. And Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, he mentioned in that work a number of different categories of people, from the layman to the students of knowledge, to the scholars of hadith, to the jurisprudence, to the people tried with different aspects of worship, the devout worshippers, so on and so forth. All these different categories of believers, and how the devil, he has specific traps and means to mislead them. From that, he's mentioning in this work about those reciting the Book of Allah. And likewise, Ibn Qayyim as well, in his book, Ighathatu al-Lahafan, which is a similar work about a similar topic, about Masa'id al-Shaytan, the traps and the snares of the devil, the plots that the devil he has against Bani Adam. And Ibn Qayyim, he has a chapter about this, about the Makharij, in that work, Ighathatu al-Lahafan. And in that chapter, he transmitted statements from those before, from them the statement of Ibn Jawzi, and likewise from them the statement of Ibn Qutayba, which included the statement of a number of scholars of hadith from the likes of Imam Ahmed, and likewise Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Sufyan al-Thawri, and other than them, rahimahum Allah. So we have some summarized benefits now from this particular work, and we take them briefly to emphasize on this affair. So a believer can be upon a moderate path with regards to studying the Book of Allah, not going to extremes, not being overcome by the whispers of the devil with regards to pronouncing the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and also not being negligent and being heedless, so not going to the other extreme and singing the Quran, waliyadhu billah, or trying to beautify in a manner that's not legislated and not praiseworthy. So Ibn al-Jawzi, he mentioned in his work, Talbis Iblis, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَقَدْ لَبَّسَ إِبْلِيسُ عَلَى بَعْضِ الْمُصَّلِينَ فِي مَخَارِجِ الْحُرُوفِ فَتَرَاهُ يَقُولُ الْحَمْدُ لَحَمْدُ فَيَخْرُجُ بِإِيَادَةِ الْكَلِمَةِ and قَانُونِ أَدَبِ الصَّلَاةِ. He says, Iblis has deluded, misled some of the worshippers regarding the articulation points of the letters. You see one of them saying in the prayer, he's in the prayer, Alhamdu, Alhamdu. And meaning he will say, Alhamdulillah, but then he'll repeat it again because he'll feel like he maybe didn't pronounce one of the letters according to the rules of Tajweed. So he'll maybe think that he didn't pronounce the ha properly, so he'll repeat it again. So he'll wind up repeating the word more than one time, reciting the verse more than one time, taking the prayer out of its normal, yani out of its normal bounds and proper etiquettes. And this is what he's referring to. You'll see one of them, Alhamdu, Alhamdu, yani he has waswasa, whispers of the devils with regards to how he pronounced the word. He'll feel like he didn't pronounce it right, so he'll repeat it again in the middle of the prayer, repeating the word and thereby going beyond the bounds of proper etiquette in the salah. He says, وَتَارَةً يُلَبِّسُ عَلَيْهِمْ فِي تَحْقِيقِ التَّشْدِيدِ وَتَارَةً فِي إِخْرَاجِ الضَّادِّ الْمَغْضُوبِ وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ مَنْ يَقُولُ الْمَغْضُوبُ فَيَقْرُجُ بُصَاقُهُ مَعَ إِخْرَاجِ الضَّادِّ لِقُوَّةِ تَشْدِيدِهِ لِقُوَّةِ تَشْدِيدِهِ. At times you will find the devil, he confounds the individual in the matter of the emphasis, emphasizing the letters, and he wants to pronounce the letter properly, and he tries too hard, and he goes to extremes, and he will pronounce the letter with force. He says that other times of pronouncing the letter Dhad, the letter Al-Dhad, in Maghdubi Alayhim, any of those who have earned the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is known as Surah Al-Fatiha. He said, I even saw someone who was saying Al-Maghdubi Alayhim, Ghayri Al-Maghdubi Alayhim. He says, his spit is flying out of his mouth because of how the excessive force he's using to articulate the Dhad. And he's going to such extremes, and he's saying he witnessed himself. Somebody reciting the Quran in this manner, Maghdubi, whenever he pronounces the Dhad, he's spitting. Spitting is coming out of his mouth because he's forcing the letter so hard. Forcing the letter so hard, trying so hard to pronounce this letter in the manner he thinks is proper. He says, وَإِنَّمَا الْمُرَادُ تَحْقِيقُ الْحَرْفِ فَحَسْبُ وإبليس يخرج هؤلاء بالزيادة عن حد التحقيق ويشغرهم بالمبالغة في الحروف عن فهم التلاوة وكل هذه الوساوس من إبليس. He says, however, what is required is simply the correct articulation of the letter, nothing more. This will suffice. A person, he will learn that, and he will practice until he can pronounce that letter to the best of his ability. When it has a sukun, when it has a fatha, when it has a dhamma, and when it has a kasra. And then whenever it's coming with letters before it, so on and so forth, he will learn these affairs. He will practice, and he will practice time after time, and he will learn alhamdulillah. And he will pronounce it to the best of his ability without going to extremes. However, what is required is simply the correct articulation of the letter, nothing more. Iblis drives such people beyond the limits of proper articulation, distracting them, preoccupying them with excessive precision in pronunciation from reflecting on the recitation. And the devil, he will distract and preoccupy the reciter with excessive precision in pronunciation from reflecting on the recitation. And he will forget the whole purpose of why he's reciting. And he's worried about these letters and these makharij and these sifat, which no doubt are important. They should not distract the person from pondering and reflecting over the meanings and being affected by the recitation and taking admonition, which is the very wisdom from the recitation. All of these are whispers from Iblis. He said, "Kullu hadhihi alwasawis min Iblis." All of these are from the whispers of the devil. After a number of statements from the Salaf and how they disliked people going to extremes with regards to the recitation of the Quran. They disliked those who go to extremes in the mudud and stretching the letters beyond the proper manner, especially the letters that are not proper to be stretched. Even it's been mentioned from Imam Ahmad, he was asked about the mudud and whenever they make the tamtit and the likes from the proper place. He said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Muhammad. How would you like if somebody called you Muhammad? Muhammad. Muhammad, like this." So there's no med here on the meme. So to put a med there is not proper. If somebody is calling somebody Muhammad like this, this is going to extremes, and not calling him by the name that is his name properly. So these are some of the things that have been mentioned with regards to this. So you don't say Muhammad. You don't say Muhammad, like this. This is the way to pronounce these words in the Arabic language. So to put elongations in places they do not belong in the likes like this, or to go to extremes, or to balance the voice, and the like, all of this is considered blameworthy with regards to the recitation of the Book of Allah. It's considered blameworthy with regards to the recitation of the Book of Allah. So Ibn Qayyim, he said, rahimahullah, after mentioning all these affairs that we're summarizing now, he says, وَالْمَقْسُودَ أَنَّ الْأَئِمَّةَ وَالْمَقْسُودَ أَنَّ الْأَئِمَّةَ كَرِهُ التَّنَطُّعَ وَالْغُلُوَ فِي النُّطْقِ بِالْحَرْفِ. What is intended? This is the lesson that we want to take. This is a great summarization. Many things have been summarized here, but the point, he says, the point is the imams, meaning the imams of the sunnah, they disapproved of atanattu', excessiveness, and ghulu, exaggeration, going to extremes, beyond the limits, in pronouncing the letters. He said, rahimahullah, closing this issue, وَمَنْ تَأَمَّلَ هَدْيَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَإِقْرَأَهُ أهل كل لسان على قراءتهم تبين له أن التنطع والتشدق والوسوس في إخراج الحرف ليس من سنته صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, and whoever reflects and whoever thinks deep and ponders upon the guidance of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and his approval of the recitation of the people in various dialects which has preceded, that the Quran نزل على سَبَعْتِ أَحْرُفِ. It was revealed in seven different dialects to facilitate and make it easy for the different tribes to recite in their own dialect so that they can benefit, so they can believe, so they can follow, so they can learn, so they can be upon guidance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he approved of that. He taught each one according to his dialect. And he said, فَلْيَقْرَأْ كُلٌ عَلَمَا أُقْرِيَ. Everyone, he should recite in that which he was taught. And that which he was taught. He says he will realize that this exaggeration, overexertion, and this tashadduq, affected speech, and working too hard with the mouth to pronounce letters in obsessive precision and articulation are not from his sunnah. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a great benefit. And again, khayrul umuri awsatuha, la tafriṭuha wa la ifratuha. The best of all affairs is always in the middle. The straight path is sirat al-mustaqim, that which leads to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is always in the middle. A moderate course between two extremes. A moderate course between two extremes. Between going to extreme and transgressing the boundaries, and between falling short and being negligent in establishing the rights. Between falling short and being negligent and establishing the rights. In our previous class, we were reading some narrations that we had added. The author, he mentioned a few narrations that were weak. We replaced them again with another narration by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is connected by Al-Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ وَزَادَ غَيْرُهُ يَجْحَرُ بِهِ. That he's not from us, the one who does not make التغني بِالْقُرْآنِ. And he does not recite the Qur'an in the beautiful voice in the manner prescribed, raising his voice with it, and reciting audibly. So then also we had read in our previous class the statement of the author that he said, Rahimahullah, I prefer for the one reciting the Qur'an that he should recite it in a humble voice, and that he should try to weep and affect his heart and move his heart in the manner, and then reflect on the promises and the threats that are found in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to try to rile up the heart to be affected from that, and to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as Allah, he mentioned in his book about the righteous, those who are affected by the book of Allah. From their traits, Allah, he mentioned about them, Allahu nazzala ahsana al-hadithi kitaban mutashabihan mathaniya taqshi'u minhu juludu alladhina yakhshawna rabbahum thumma tarinu juluduhum wa qulubuhum ila dhikrillah. That Allah has set down the best speech, a book consisted in its parts, repeating its verses time after time. The skins of those who fear their Lord shiver from it, and from the recitation. They're affected. This is because of what is in their hearts from the fear and reverence of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and love and great desire for His promise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then their skins and their hearts soften at the remembrance of Allah. Then he says, rahimahullah, ثُمَّ ذَمَّ قَوْمًا اسْتَمَعُوا الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمْ تَقْشَعَ لَهُ قُلُوبُهُمْ فَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ. And he rebuked those who hear the Quran but are not moved by it, and they're not affected by it. In his statement, Subhana, do you then wonder at this statement? Are you then wonder at this statement? Are you amazed by the statement and laugh and not weep while you amuse yourselves? ثُمَّ يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ أَنْ يُرَتِّلَهُ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَرَتِّلْهُ تَرْتِيلًا قيل في التفسير تبينه تبينا. It is also fitting that the one who recites the Quran should recite it with tartil, with a measured tone, yani slowly and calmly, in a beautiful manner prescribed, not hastening, and also again pronouncing it properly as has been revealed, as Allah, he says, and recite the Quran in slow, measured, rhythmic tones, yani in the melody and the manner that is prescribed. In the tafsir of this, it's explained, make it clear and explain. And you recite it clearly and in a clear and explained manner, in a clear and detailed manner. This again occurs by pronouncing the letters from the proper articulation point and giving the letters they deserve from their rights with regards to the descriptions that they have that are from the descriptions and the traits of each letter, and likewise in the different circumstances that come about throughout the recitation. There are other rights likewise that one must observe and the recitation. By observing these rites and the other rules along with that, then the recitation will be beautiful. And even if a person, his voice is not necessarily beautiful, the recitation will be beautiful. The recitation will be beautiful according to his ability, because he's following the rules, he's following the principles, he's reciting it to the best of his ability based upon the knowledge that has reached him from the knowledge of at-tilawa, from the knowledge of at-tajweed. So it says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ إِذَا رَتَّلَهُ وَبَيَّنَهُ وَانْتَفَعَ بِهِ مَنْ يَسْتَمِعُ مِنْهُ وَانْتَفَعَ هُوَ بِذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُ قَرَأَهُ كَمَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ في قوله تعالى, وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثٍ. And know that when one recites with tartil and clarity, both he and those who listen to him will benefit. And the one who listens to him will benefit, and likewise he himself will benefit. He himself will benefit. This is because he will be reciting as Allah has commanded in his statement, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is a Qur'an which we have separated by intervals. And we have revealed it in intervals, not all at one time, so that you might recite it to the people over a prolonged period. And this is also from the wisdom. لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادِكَ, in order to make your heart firm. So it wasn't revealed all at one time. Rather, it was revealed in portions, so that it can be studied, so that it can be reflected upon, so that it can be pondered upon, so that it can be memorized easily, facilitated in this manner. And likewise, it should be recited. Likewise, it should be studied in the same way and recited any time after time, little after little by little, so on and so forth. Meaning, with calmness and deliberation. Yani the author, he says, ala tu ada. Ala tu ada. Yani with calmness and deliberation. He mentioned, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma fi hadhihi al-ayah. Warattil al-Qur'an tartila. Warattil al-Qur'an tartila. Bayyinhu tibyana. From Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned, regarding the verse, and recite the Qur'an with measured recitation, he said, clarify it with clarification. Clarify it with clarification. Again, referring to pronouncing the words properly and giving them the rights that they deserve. Giving them the rights that they deserve. One mujahid, في قول الله عز وجل وقرآن فرقناه لتقرأه على الناس على مكث قال على تؤدى. From Mujahid, رحمه الله, regarding the statement of Allah, the Most High, and it is a Qur'an which we have separated by intervals, that you might, and we have revealed it in intervals, that you might recite it to the people over a prolonged period. He said at a slow, deliberate pace. قال محمد ابن الحسين والقليل من الدرس للقرآن مع الفكر فيه وتدبره أحب إلي من قراءة الكثير من القرآن بغير تدبر ولا تفكر فيه والظاهر القرآن يدل على ذلك والسنة وقول أئمة المسلمين. Muhammad ibn al-Husayn, he says, a small portion of the Quran studied with reflection and contemplation is more beloved to me than the recitation of much Quran without contemplation or reflection. The apparent meaning, what is apparent from the Quran indicates this, that it's better and more beloved and more proper to study it slowly and little by little and ponder and reflect over the meanings and benefit from the promise and the threat and the law and legislation and the creed that is found therein than to just simply recite it, even if he recites abundantly, even if he recites often, or even if he recites a great portion, yet he did not reflect, understand, nor benefit. He said, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, what is apparent from the Quran indicates this, as does the Sunnah and the statements of the Imams of the Muslims. So with regards to the statement here, وَرَتِّلْ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. This is from رَتَّلَ يُرَتِّلُ رَتِّلْ تَرْتِيلًا وَرَتِّلْ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Al-Baghawi, he mentioned, رَحِمَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, قَالَ إِبْنَ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا بَيِّنْهُ بَيَانًا وَقَالَ الْحَسَنُ اقْرَأْهُ قِرَاءَةً بَيِّنَةً وَقَالَ مُجَاهِدٌ تَرَسَّلْ فِيهِ تَرَسُّلًا وَقَالَ قَتَادَةَ تَثَبَّتْ فِيهِ تَثَبُّتًا وَلِابْنِ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَيْضًا اقْرَأْهُ عَلَى هَيْنَتِكَ ثَلَاثَ آيَاتٍ أَرْبَعًا أَوْ خَمْسًا. Al-Baghawi, he mentioned regarding the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, recite the Quran with measured recitation. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, recite it with clear articulation. بَيَّنْهُ بَيَّانًا. Recite it with clear articulation. Al-Hassan, he said, and Al-Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, recite it with a clear and distinct recitation. Mujahid, he said, rahimahullah, recite slowly with measured pacing. Qatada, he said, be deliberate in it with firmness. And also from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, recite it gently, three verses or four verses or five at a time. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he mentioned about the same verse, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا, and recite the Qur'an with measured recitation, he says, أي اقرأه على تمهل فإنه يكون عونا على فهم القرآن وتدبره وكذلك كان يقرأ صلوات الله وسلامه. He said this means to recite it with deliberation and calmness, for that it helps in understanding and reflecting upon the Qur'an. And this is the way the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite. قال الشيخ السعدي رحمه الله in the same statement, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا فَإِنَّ تَرْتِيلَ الْقُرْآنِ بِهِ يَحْصُرُ التَّدَبُّرُ وَالتَّفَكُّرُ وتحريك القلوب به وتعبد بآياته وتهيئ والاستعداد التام له. He said, رحمه الله, that and recite the Quran with measured recitation. He said through the tartil, for through the tartil, the measured recitation, and in the manner prescribed, pronouncing it clearly, and with calm deliberation of the Quran, one achieves reflection and contemplation, stirring of the hearts by way of it, and sincere devotion and worship through its verses. And he worshiping Allah Azza wa Jalla by reciting the verses in this manner, reflecting and pondering over the meanings and benefiting and taking heed, and the heart falling humble before Allah Azza wa Jalla, full readiness and preparation to accept the revelation, to accept and receive the revelation. The people of knowledge, as they mentioned, وَاسْتُدِلَّ بِالْآيَةِ عَلَى أَنَّ التَّرْتِيلَ وَتَدَبُّرَ مَعَ قِلَّةِ الْقِرَاءَةِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ سُرْعَةِ الْقِرَاءَةِ مَعَ كَثْرَتِهَا لِأَنَّ الْمَقْصُودَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ فَهْمُهُ وَتَدَبُّرُهُ وَالْفِقْهُ فِيهِ وَالْعَمَلُ بِهِ وَالْعَمَلُ بِهِ. So the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, it has been derived from the verse here that we're discussing, that the author is mentioning, and the author, he derived it likewise, rahimahullah ta'ala, this benefit, that reciting with tartil, with measured pacing, with calm deliberation, clear recitation to the best of one's ability, without going to extremes, again, and reflecting and pondering over the recitation, even if with less quantity, is better than reading quickly with greater quantity, because the primary objective of the Quran is to understand. Contemplate its meanings, grasp its rulings, and act upon it. كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليدبروا آياته ولتذكر أولو الألباب. So likewise, it's preceded. We read again for the benefit. The statement of Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, whenever he said, لا تهذوا القرآن هذا الشعر ولا تنثروه نثر الدقن فقفوا عند عجائبه وحركوا به القلوب ولا يكون هم أحدكم آخرة Surah. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, do not recite the Quran hastily like the rapid rhyming of poetry, nor scatter it like dates falling from a tree. Stop at its wonders, stir the hearts with it, rile up the hearts with it, and let not the concern of one of you be merely the end of the surah. We've seen previously the author himself, he mentioned the intent, when will I benefit? When will I take admonition? When will it affect me? When will I understand? When will I fear Allah? When will I be sincere? When will I prepare for my death? When will I benefit from the recitation and follow the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla until the end of that which he mentioned, rahimahullah? This is what will be in the mind of a reciter or the one who is listening to the book being recited, to the book of Allah being recited, We have some more benefits likewise from the statements of the scholars. From that, we have some benefits from Shaykh Muhammad al-Ithiopi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He has a number of great works. From that is the explanation of Sahih Muslim, and likewise an explanation of Sunan and Nasa'i. Both of them are amazing, amazing works, vast works in explanation of these great books of hadith. And his explanation of Sahih Muslim in the narrations that we were discussing about لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنَّا بِتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ وَأَذِينَ اللَّهُ مَا أَذِينَ اللَّهُ لِنَبِيٍ كما أذن لنبي حسن صوتي بالقرآن. يعني the hadith that we had begun the class with this evening, he mentioned here in some commentary on these affairs. He says first he discussed the issue of how the people of knowledge disliked reciting with these melodies and these tones that are governed by principles and scales and music and the likes like this. And he mentioned a moderate course in understanding that, and in understanding what the Salaf, they had intended. So not all melody or smooth flowing is forbidden, but the one that is ma'mura, mutriba, that we have seen in the previous class, that's intentional, that's tried, and it's based upon a science of knowledge of scales and the likes like this, and musical tones and melodies that is known, and he follows that way intentionally, this is the one that's blameworthy. So he says, rahimahullah, هذا التفسير حسن جدا وحاصله أن القراءة بالألحان والأنغام الحسنة بشرط عدم الخروج عن قوانين القراءة مستحب لأحاديث الباب وغيرها وإن اختل شرط من شروط الأداء كأن يمد حرفا لا يستحق المد أو تجاوز في المدود من المقدار الذي وضعه القراء أو زاد حرفا أو نقص أو أخفى ما يظهر أو عكس أو أدغم ما لا يدغم أو عكس أو نحو ذلك فحرام والله تعالى أعلم بالصواب وإليه المرجع والمآب وهو حسبنا ونعم الوكيل. This is from his explanation of Sahih Muslim and the narrations with regards to the recitation of the Quran and the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says this classification is very fine. Any that which has preceded in this portion here says, in summary, reciting with melodies and beautiful tones, as long as the rules of proper recitation are not violated, it is recommended. Based on the hadith in this chapter and others, these narrations that we're reading, it's not from us, the one who doesn't beautify his voice with the Qur'an, Zayyinu al-Qur'an bi aswatikum, and the likes like this. All of these narrations that we have been discussing with encouragement to recite in a beautiful manner, this is what he's saying now. That it's to reciting with melodies, and with a tone, and a beautiful voice. As long as the rules of proper recitation, the rules of tajweed, are not violated, it is recommended. Based on the hadiths in this chapter and others. However, if any condition of proper recitation is breached, such as elongating a letter that does not deserve to be elongated, or exceeding the proper length of a prolonged letter, or adding or omitting a letter, or concealing what should be made apparent, or reversing rules, or merging what should not be merged, or vice versa, then this is forbidden. Any applying the rules haphazardly, putting the gunnah here and there when it doesn't belong, or going to extremes in that and taking it beyond the amount that it deserves, or not giving it the right that it deserves, so on and so forth. And this is not right. This is not right. Making a letter longer than it should, or mixing two letters together when they're not supposed to be mixed together. Because there's some rules, al-idgham and the likes like this, and al-iqlab, where letters where they'll become together. But that should be done properly with the letters that deserve that right. As for doing that with letters that do not deserve that right, or in places or in manners that's not right, violating these rules, then this is not good. He's saying, and Allah the Exalted, He knows best what is correct, and to Him is the return and the destination. And He's sufficient for us and the best disposer of affairs. And it has come also by Al-Khamsa, narrated by Al-Khamsa except for At-Tirmidhi. Al-Khamsa except for At-Tirmidhi. Who is that? It's narrated by the five except At-Tirmidhi. Huh? Abu Dawud? No, the five except At-Tirmidhi. Who are the five? The five. Ashab al-Sunnah al-Arba'ah is the four. And Imam Ahmed. So it's Abu Dawud al-Tirmidhi, al-Nasa'i ibn Majah, and al-Imam Ahmed in the Musnad. This is the five. So the five except Tirmidhi. So all of them except for Tirmidhi. You understand? They narrated this narration here. The one that the author, he mentioned, from the narration of al-Bara ibn Azib, radiyallahu anhu, Zayyinu al-Qur'ana bi aswatikum. Beautify the Quran with your voices. Beautify the Quran with your voices. So from the benefits of knowing who narrated this now, we know that it's from the five except At-Tirmidhi. So it's not in the book of At-Tirmidhi, but it's in the other books. From the other books, Sunan and Nasa'i. Allahu Akbar. Sheikh Muhammad ibn al-Hiyopi has a great explanation of Sunan and Nasa'i. So now you rush to his book and you find that hadith in there and you find what he has mentioned for benefit. You understand? Naam. So he says, Rahimahullah, wal hadith yudulu ala tahsin at-tilawa bis-sawt, wal hikmatu fi dhalika al-mubalaghatu fi tadabbur al-ma'ani, wa tafattun lima tadhammanathu al-ayat min al-awamir wan-nawahi wal-wa'd wal-wa'id, li'anna an-nafsa mayyalatun tab'an ila istihsan al-aswat, wa rubbama yatafarraqu al-fikru ma husn as-sawti 'an ash-shawa'ibi, fayakunu al-fikru mujtami'an, wa idha ijtama'a hasala al-matlubu min al-khushu'i wal-khudu'. He says here, this hadith indicates the recommendation of beautifying the recitation with one's voice. The wisdom behind this, of beautifying the voice, is to enhance reflection upon the meanings, to become more alert to what the verses contain of commandments and prohibitions, and promises and warnings. So whenever it's recited in a beautiful manner, with a beautiful voice, and a person hears the promise of Allah, of Jannah, and the verses of the promise of Allah, and hears the verses of the threat of the fire, and he hears the verses of how the victory is given to the prophets before, and he reads the story of Yusuf, for example, or the story of any of the prophets, and the good outcome that they have, with a beautiful recitation, with a beautiful voice, it goes in the heart and it benefits. Whenever a person, he reads about the commandments and the prohibitions and the path that leads to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the obligation of salah, and the obligation of zakat, and the description of those people who established that, and when it's recited in a beautiful manner, according to the manner prescribed, with a beautiful voice, a person who will benefit greatly. It will affect his life, it will change his life, he will break down.
He will break down and all arrogance and pride will go away and he will be a humble slave by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is from the favor of Allah, the blessing of benefiting from the recitation of the Quran. So the wisdom behind this is to enhance reflection. So the person, inshallah, who be able to benefit, to enhance reflection upon the meanings and to become more alert, aware, his heart is alive to what the verses contain of commandments and prohibitions, promises and threats and warnings. This is because the soul is naturally inclined to appreciate pleasant sounds. And with a beautiful voice, the mind may be freed from distractions, allowing for focus and contemplation. When such focus is achieved, the desired effects of humility, humbleness and submissiveness before Allah, they are realized and achieved. They are realized and achieved. So this is the benefit and the wisdom for learning those rules of a tajweed, to recite it in this manner with a beautiful voice so that the hearts are affected. With regards to some of the benefits and the clarifications that have come in the narrations with regards to the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Hafsa radiallahu anha. She says, كان يقرأ صلى الله عليه وسلم السورة فيرتلها حتى تكون أطول من أطول أو حتى تكون أطول من أطول منها. That he would recite a surah and lengthen it such that it would become longer than one that is longer. And he would take his time and recite it so beautifully and so precisely, without hastening, with calm deliberation, that the time that it takes to recite the short surah would be longer than it takes to recite sometimes a longer surah. Somebody may recite a longer surah faster because of how deliberate and slow he would take in reciting the verses, not hastening and rushing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And has come in Sahih Bukhari from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. أَنْهُ سُئِلَ عَنْ قِرَاءَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That he was asked about the recitation of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَقَالَ كَانَتْ مَدَّا. He said, كَانَتْ مَدَّا. That it was stretched out. It was stretched out. ثُمَّ قَرَأَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ يَمُدُّ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَيَمُدُّ الرَّحْمَنِ وَيَمُدُّ الرَّحِيمِ. He says, then he said his recitation was مَدَّا with the مَد. The مَد is the elongation sound. He used to recite it with the elongation sound. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Anas himself, radiallahu anhu, he recited Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. And he would stretch the lamb on the word Allah. Bismillah. And he would stretch the meme on ar-Rahman. And he would stretch the ha on ar-Rahim. He make the mid. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. He's stretching it in this manner. Displaying by application. And also it has been collected by Al-Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Al-Tirmidhi. And other than them, from the haditha Salama radiallahu anha, annaha su'ilat an qira'ati rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, ya laha min su'al. Ya lahu min su'al. Ya laha min mas'ala. This is something great to ask. And how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite? Who are they asking? They're asking those who heard the recitation and believed in it. You understand that? This is just letting you know the status of the Sahaba. The status that they heard the recitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believed it and followed it and transmitted it. So they are definitely the witnesses yani for us and for the Ummah. So she was asked, radiallahu anha, Salama, about the recitation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَقَالَتْ كَانَ يُقَطِعُ قِرَاءَتَهُ كَانَ يُقَطِعُ قِرَاءَتَهُ آيَةً آيَةً. That he used to, that she said that he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would pause his recitation, one verse at a time, and he would stop it at the head of every verse. And then she recited Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, stopping at each verse, not connecting them. And Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim, and then stopping. This is the point that she's making. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Stopping at each verse, not connecting them. Likewise, it has been reported from Al-Imam Ahmed, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr. This has proceeded, this is an encouragement, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ يعني يوم القيامة اقرأ ورقى ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا. فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَتَكَ عِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ تَقْرَأُهَا. That it will be said to the person of the Qur'an on the day of resurrection, it will be said to him, recite and ascend and recite as you used to recite, slowly and deliberately, end the worldly life. For indeed, your rank in paradise will be at the last verse that you recite. Will be at the last verse that you recite, collected by Imam Ahmed and likewise Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and other than them. So this is some of the benefits that has been mentioned with regards to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا, and recite the Qur'an in measured recitation, and calmly, with calm deliberation, without hastening, and by clarifying the letters and the words and the recitation, primarily by learning the makharij and the sifat of the huruf, and likewise the other rites that these letters deserve whenever they are recited from the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He says, وَقَالَ مُحَمَّدْ إِبْنُ حُسَيْنِ وَالْقَلِيلُ مِنَ الدَّرْسِ لِلْقُرْآنِ مَعَ فِكْرِ فِيهِ وَتَدَبُّرِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ قِرَاءَةِ الْكَثِيرِ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ بِغَيْرِ تَدَبُّرٍ وَلَا تَفَكُّرٍ فِيهِ وَالظَّاهِرُ الْقُرْآنِ يَدُلُّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَالسُّنَّةُ وَقَوْلُ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Muhammad ibn al-Husayn, he said, rahimahullah, a small portion of the Qur'an study with reflection and contemplation is more beloved to me than the recitation of much Qur'an without contemplation nor reflection. And this is apparent. What is apparent from the Qur'an indicates this, as does the sunnah and the statements of the imams of the Muslims. He mentions a chain, and Abi Jamrah al-Duba'i, أَنَّهُ قَالَ قُلْتُ لِي إِبْنَ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا إِنِّي سَرِيعُ الْقِرَاءَةِ إني أقرأ القرآن في ثلاث. قال لأن أقرأ البقرة في ليلة فأتدبرها وأرتيلها أحب إلي أن أقرأ كما تقول. From Abu Jamrah al-Duba'i, he said, I said to Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, I am quick in reciting. I can recite quickly. He said, I recite the entire Quran in 3 days. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he replied, he said that I recite the Surah al-Baqarah in one night with contemplation and measured recitation is more beloved to me than to recite it the way that you're talking about. And he recited the whole Quran in 3 days. He said that I recite just Baqarah in one night and reflect and ponder over what I'm reciting is better, is more beloved to me than the way that you're reciting it and the way that you're referring to. سُئِلَ مُجَاهِدٌ عَنْ رَجُلٍ قَرَأَ الْبَقَرَةَ وَآلَ إِمْرَانَ وَرَجُلٍ قَرَأَ الْبَقَرَةَ قراءتهما واحدة وركوعهما وسجودهما وجلوسهما أيهما أفضل؟ قال الذي قرأ البقرة ثم قرأ وقرآنا فرقناه لتقرأه على الناس على مكث ونزلناه تنزيلا. Mujahid was asked about two men. One of them recited Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran, while the other recited only Surah Al-Baqarah. Their recitation, the length of it, and the bowing and prostration and sitting were all equal. He was asked, which of them is better? Which of them is more virtuous? He replied, the one who recited Surah Al-Baqarah. And then he recited the verse of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the meaning of which is, and a Qur'an which we have divided that you might recite it to the people over a prolonged period, and we have sent it down gradually. قال محمد ابن الحسين رحمه الله جميع ما قلته ينبغي لأهل القرآن أن يتخلقوا بجميع ما حثثتهم عليه من جميل الأخلاق وينزدروا عما كرهته لهم من دناءة الأخلاق والله الموفق لنا ولهم إلى السبيل الرشاد والحمد لله رب العالمين تم جميع الكتاب. Muhammad ibn Hussein, he said, may Allah have mercy on him. Everything I have mentioned, it is necessary for the people of the Quran to embody the good manners I have encouraged them with and to avoid the blameworthy character traits I have warned them about. And Allah is the one who grants us and them success towards the path of righteousness and uprightness. All praises and thanks are due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and the book has been completed. So this is the summarized version of akhlaq, hamalat al-Qur'an, the manners, the etiquettes of the Qur'an by the great Imam Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn al-Husayn al-Ajuri rahimahullahu ta'ala, who died in the year 360 after the hijrah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much great advice and benefit that he has clarified from the attributes of those who are sincere in learning and seeking knowledge of the Quran, and likewise those who are insincere, so that a believer, he can be upon insight and true guidance while he's traversing on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I remind the noble brothers and sisters of what the author he began with, from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Inna lillahi min an-nasi ahlin," that indeed Allah, He has people from mankind, ahlullahi wa khasatuhu, special people, special slaves, whom Allah He loves, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and they are ahlul Qur'an. Ahlul Qur'ani, ahlullahi wa khasatuhu, the people of the Qur'an, and they are His special slaves, the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, those who have no fear and no grief. May Allah make us and our loved ones from them. But also we have taken as well the hadith of Nawas ibn Sam'an, radiyallahu anhu, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, yu'ta bil Qur'ani wa ahlihi, yu'ta bil Qur'ani yawm al qiyamah wa ahlihi alladhina kanu ya'malu nabihi, that the Qur'an will be brought on the day of resurrection and its people. This hadith here clarifies who they are. Alladhina kanu ya'maluna bihi. They are those who used to apply it. They are those who used to apply it. So to have high hopes, to be from the people of Quran, those beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, is something that is very dear. But they should not be empty hopes. There must be hopes that are coupled with great efforts and striving to learn the traits of the people of Quran and those who are beloved to Allah, and that which is pleasing to Allah from creed and belief and statement and action and deed, and then strive against the soul to implement that, along with learning the traits that are displeasing to Allah and the statements and the creeds and the creeds and statements, actions and deeds that will earn the anger and the wrath of Allah, to avoid that and stay away from that, working upon the straight path with knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His grace and mercy to make us from the people of the Quran, to make us from the people of the Sunnah, and from make us who are truthful in our ascription to the Salaf of this Ummah, and to grant us light and a good understanding of His religion, to take our souls whenever He is pleased with us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make the knowledge that we learn together a proof for us and not against us. A proof for us and not against us. Inshallah, in our class tomorrow, there are some few benefits that we did not cover that were prepared. Inshallah, we can have a brief review. And after that, inshallah, we're going to finish up some works that we have started. We have few works that are larger. Inshallah, they are going to be restarted after Hajj. But before that, we have Masail al-Jahiliyyah, which is almost over, and likewise Aqidah Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah by Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah, which is almost completed as well. So we will finish these two works one by one, inshallah. So the next class we begin, we're going to finish Masail al-Jahiliyyah straight until we finish, and then after that, maybe we'll finish in five or more classes, and Allah knows best, or maybe a little more, and then after that, the work closing that which Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned about the creed of Ahl-Sunnah. And we're in the end of the chapter of the Sahaba, about to start the issue of the decree. And towards the end of the work, inshallah, we finish that and then begin our classes in preparation for Hajj, continuing from where we left off in the book of our teacher, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala. Then after that, we return back to our other schedule with Umdah and Islah Al-Qulub. So this is, inshallah, the general plan. This, inshallah, is the general plan and schedule, inshallah ta'ala. As for the brothers and sisters who attend with us on Tuesday morning on the Muqaddimah class for the introductory level of the Arabic language, alhamdulillah, we completed two levels, and that level is finished, and we're due to start level one soon. But before we start that, starting tomorrow, inshallah, because of the encouragement we have listened from the likes of the studies, we're going to have a seminar on the rules of a tajweed and some practical application with regards to that. That will be every Tuesday after Fajr, inshallah ta'ala, in the back room. And also it will be on Zoom for those who want to attend. We ask Allah to make it beneficial. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.